So up to Parshas Vayechi, closing up Sefer Bereishis and the exciting stories contained therein. But I wanted to actually pick up with something we mentioned at the end, or actually as part of the shiur last week, and look into it a little bit more. One of the points that we made was we quoted a medrash in terms of the broader point, but this specific point was the medrash at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, where the medrash comments that Yosef didn't know that Yaakov was sick. Yosef was told that Yaakov was sick. It says in Parakim Ches Pasagal VaYiacharei Advarim Olav VaYomer Li Yosef Hinei Avicha Cholav. Yosef was told. It was told to Yosef that your father is sick. Now we mentioned that it's a little surprising that after being away from his father for so long, we would certainly think that Yosef would take the time out of his busy schedule to constantly be visiting his father, making sure that everything is okay. And why would it be that he would need a messenger to tell him that his father is sick? So quoted in Medrash that said that Yosef, actually often avoided going to see Yaakov and didn't want to spend a lot of time with Yaakov. The reason being that Yosef was afraid that if he would be alone with his father, then his father would start asking him, what happened to you all these years? How did you end up in Mitzrayim? And you keep pushing him until finally he would have to reveal what the brothers really did to him. And he was afraid that the same way Shimon and Levi got cursed, and the same way that he knew that Yaakov's curse was very, very powerful, the curse that he gave unbeknownst to him to Rachel caused her death when he said that whoever took the trophim, he didn't even realize that it was her, should be cursed, and she ended up dying early as a result of the curse. So he didn't want that, so he didn't want to be responsible for that for his brothers, and therefore he avoided his father. Again, we explained last week that was part of a mission that Yaakov had really given him. But I want to maybe look a little bit more at that point and that question, which is, so did Yaakov really know what happened? At the end of the day, did Yaakov know that Yosef was sold down by his brothers to Mitzrayim or not? Anybody have an opinion? That's the question. You think he did? Okay, let's see what the... there's one episode where the Torah seems to give us a little bit of an insight into whether Yaakov in fact knew or not. So we'll start with that and then we'll take it from there. So if you flip towards the end of the parsha, the page 286. So right after the death of Yaakov, and they're returning back from burying Yaakov, and in Pasuk Yudalit, it says, Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayim Ahu Ve'achav, and Yosef returned from to Mitzrayim, he and his brothers, V'chol Ha'olim Yitolik Boras Aviv, and everybody else that accompanied him to bury their father Yaakov, Acharei Kavros Aviv, after they finished burying their father. Vayiru Achei Yosef Kimei Saviyem, and the brothers of Yosef saw that their father died. Okay? Torah, that seems to be a fairly obvious point. They're returning from his funeral, so there seems to be something more to that the Torah is trying to tell us. Vayiru achei Yosef kimeis avihem. But okay, that's what the Torah says. Vayomeru, and they said, Lu yistimenu Yosef. What does that mean? Lu yistimenu Yosef. Well, let's see. The article says, perhaps Joseph will nurse hatred against us. Afraid that Yosef is going to act out, what's he going to do? So Hashem Yashiv Lanu is going to return to us. Eis kol ha-ra'ah asher gamalnu oso. All of the bad things that we did to him, he's going to return the favor, and he's going to get us back for everything that we did to him. It's interesting. How do we know what the word yistimenu means? So, we had that word already in Sefer Bereishis, right? A little while ago. Take my word for it. We had it where? In Parshas Toldos. And The reason that it's interesting is because the context is actually kind of similar. Where is it? Says okay, page 140. Pasuk Mem Aleph, and Parshas Toldos, so right after the episode of Yaakov, of Esav finding out that Yaakov has taken his bracha that he deserved, or at least in his mind, the Torah says, Vayistom Esav is Yaakov, and Esav hated Yaakov, the same word, Luyis Tomeno. But interesting, Allah bracha asher bracha aviv, about the bracha that his father gave him, Vayomar Esav b'libo, and Esav said in his heart, Yikrevu yimei evel avi, v'hargas Yaakov achi. It's a certain irony that the Torah is giving us, using the same word, which reflects a very similar situation. And the brothers now are concerned that their father died, Yaakov died, and since Yaakov died, now Yosef is going to take the opportunity and take revenge against him because the father's not there anymore. Esav used the same word in the intending to do that very thing. Esav was intending that the opportunity should arise after Yitzchak is gone and he doesn't have any kibbutz of aim issues to worry about anymore, so then murder wasn't so high on his list of things that he shouldn't be doing, and therefore he'll take that opportunity to kill Yaakov. So it's just a very interesting almost a parallel that the Torah is sort of drawing our attention to. I don't know that there's much more significance than that, but it's maybe we can find something a different time. It's in a very interesting interesting note. So that's what the brothers said. So back to page 286. So they saw that their father died and they said Yosef maybe is going to hate us. So one question is going to be, so did they really just think that he was no different than Esav and he was just, you know, putting on a show so long as Yaakov was alive, or did something happen which suddenly made them nervous? Did Yosef do anything which hinted to them that maybe his intentions have changed in terms of what he's planning on doing with them? Because we know last week's parasha, he gave them a little bit of space. He said, don't be so upset. It was part of God's plan. It wasn't all your fault. It's not clear if he went so far as to completely forgive them or not, but he certainly didn't want to make them feel overly guilty for what they did wrong. So did anything happen that changed? We'll have to see about that also. And now the Torah says, Vayitzavu al Yosef lemor, they said to Yosef, saying, Avicha tziva lifnei moso, your father commanded before he died, lemor, saying, Kosom ruli Yosef, so should you say Yosef, Ana, please, son, na pesha achecha v'chatasam, kira gimalucha, forgive and don't be spiteful of the terrible things that your brothers did to you. And the brothers said, so please do it. The same way, right, Yaakov, they started out by quoting Yaakov, saying Yaakov commanded that you shouldn't do anything to us because of what we did to you. So please allow us just be your servants and don't forgive your servants as your father commanded. Vayef Yosef v'dabram elav. Okay, it's a little bit of a common theme in the last few parshios, is Yosef crying. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a big, he's a big crier. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Just
touch of his feminine side.
Maybe, it could be.
His emotions, not feminine.
I didn't say it. But it could be he's also in touch with his genetic side, which is, who does Yosef come from?
Yeah.
Rachel. Mm-hmm. Right, and the Navi tells us, right, that the Navi says that Hashem says, "Min I kolech mi bechi ve'nayich mi duma." That Rachel is the one who's constantly crying for Klal Yisrael, and the time will come when she doesn't need to cry anymore. You'll be able to hold back the tears, you'll be able to hold back the crying, and v'shav avanim likvulam, and your children will come back to the borders, and everything will be okay. So it could be there's a connection between Yosef and Rachel. Okay, whatever the reason is, fine. So this so the Torah tells us the answer, right? So did Yaakov know about what happened?
Right. Or did they lie?
What did it say?
Or did they lie to you?
They lied.
Okay, so those are two options. The simple reading of the Psukim.
You're expanding the truth.
Is that Yaakov said it. That's what they say. Yaakov said it. Yaakov knew. And therefore...
And never discussed it with Yosef.
So that's problem number one.
And never punished him, never yelled.
Okay, well, maybe it could be he decided not to punish him. Yeah, maybe he did think there's an aspect of, you know, it was God's plan. I'm not going to do anything drastic at this point. But why didn't he just tell Yosef directly? If it's true that Yaakov really did know, then why didn't Yaakov, say? So the Sfarno says, that's why the brothers said, or maybe that's explains, it says, Avicha Tziva, when did he command this? Lifnei Moso. It was right before he died. It says the sworn Lifnei Moso. Ba'oto HaPerek Tziva. At that moment, right before he died, he commanded it. V'lo ha'yolonu p'nai l'dab erlechaz. We didn't even have enough time to talk to you then. He didn't have enough time to talk to you then. It was his, maybe it was something that Yaakov was struggling with until the last second. What should he do about the situation? Should he punish the brothers? Maybe, you know, that was exactly what he was grappling with. And in the end, he decided to tell the brothers, you tell this to Yosef. Yosef wasn't available at the time. He was taking care of the millions of people in Mitzrayim, whatever he was doing. Making sure nobody starved. But
why would he have any reason to believe them after everything that they've done? Like, if Yaakov really said it, wouldn't it be more convincing if he told them directly?
If he told, Yosef directly. That's what we started with. We mentioned that medrash. It doesn't tell us whether he knew or not. It tells us Yosef didn't want to be the one to reveal.
Yeah, but didn't we learn last week that Yosef was not living amongst them, but Yosef was living in a different province, living
right. Yeah, so maybe right, maybe he wasn't there. Again, it was a last minute. It was a last minute decision. He feels his life is fading. Again, that's just read the psukim. That seems to be the simple understanding. I don't think, not 100% sure, I don't think there is a single classical commentary on the Chumash that assumes that the brothers are telling the truth.
Oh, no.
I could not find any. The reason for maybe because Chazal say it's not true. Rashi quotes from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Avicha Tziva, Shinu Badavar Mepnei HaShalom. They changed from the truth in order to preserve peace. And it's one of the proofs that the Gemara gives that one is allowed to do that. That in order to bring shalom between people, they were possibly even literally afraid for their lives. Yosef certainly had the power to kill them if he wanted to. He's, you know, second in command of the country. Mm-hmm. If he says, you know, off with their heads, there's little doubt that anybody would stop it. So being afraid for their lives, they made up a story.
There's another possibility, although it's weak because he uses singular for D, but as a parent, maybe, you know, he certainly sensed how they felt about Yosef all along, and maybe that's what he's talking about, that they mistreated him all along and may not have known about that specific seed.
That's good. That's one possibility. If you just read this, it could just be their general bad relationship. Again, the fact that they were that nervous that Yosef would take it so far is a little bit more difficult. Again, the really bad thing that they did was selling him. That's really what changed the course of history. But that was, you know, 22 years he was in Egypt by himself because of what happened. So, yeah, I was thinking along those lines earlier, but I think that the simple understanding of the pasuk is that they're talking about the actual sale. So does he know? So the assumption is that the brothers made it up. Doesn't answer the question of whether Yaakov knew or didn't know. All it just does is tells us that this statement that they made right now wasn't said by Yaakov, which again alleviates the question of, so why didn't Yaakov tell Yosef directly? Because Yaakov didn't tell anybody. It wasn't something that Yaakov wanted to. Whether he didn't know and then. Obviously, he couldn't tell anybody, or he didn't care to tell anybody. It wasn't something that was that he wanted to discuss with anybody else. It was a very sad chapter in his life. Things had turned out okay, and he's happy that his family's back together, and he doesn't want to deal with it. The brothers, on the other hand, apparently are nervous. So why are they nervous? So Rashi tells us the reason that they're nervous, what does it mean that they saw that their father died? Of course they saw his father, that they came back from the funeral. So Rashi says, Hikiru b'misoso etzel Yosef. They could tell that the death affected Yosef vis-a-vis their relationship with him. Shehayu regilim lisod al shulchano shel Yosef, and until the point of Yaakov's death, they often ate at Yosef's table. V'haya mekarva b'shvuk for aviv, and they brought them closer to show respect for their father. Mishmes Yaakov their caravan. He created a certain distance by not inviting them to eat after Yaakov had died, and they weren't sure. That why that was, and they interpreted that in their mind, at least, as some sort of animosity from Yosef towards them. And once that's going to change, so maybe everything's different at this point, then they're afraid, so they make up this story. Okay. But again, we still have the question left. So all we've been able to prove so far is that where the Torah seems to tell us most clearly that Yaakov knew is not a good proof as to whether Yaakov knew or not. Because again, all of them are first, presumably based on that Chazal. Maybe we need to understand where Chazal got it from. How did Chazal know that they were lying? I think the simplest understanding is just the context. The fact that the Torah introduces the pasuk that tells us that they told this story to Yosef by telling him that they saw that things were different and they were nervous that Yosef was going to hate them, and then they make the following statement, it seems to be that the two points are connected. If this was something that Yaakov said, then they could have said it in a vacuum also. But somehow, because they were afraid that Yosef was going to have and harbor this hatred towards them, they wanted to try and clear the air, so they made up a story. So did Yaakov know or not? So, let's maybe look, where should we start from? Let's look at that Rashi again. The Rashi that we just mentioned, that I mentioned before, Avichat Siva. Avichat Siva, in Pasuk Tezayin. So I only read the first half of the Rashi before, and I just purposely left out the latter half. Shinu Badavar Mitnei HaShalom. They changed the matter in order to keep the peace. Kilo Tziva Yaakov King, because Yaakov didn't command them about this. Shalom Nechshad Yosef Be'enov. That he didn't suspect Yosef. What does that mean?
He never would have thought.
Thought what?
That Yosef would do this.
That Yosef would take revenge. Doesn't say that he never thought that such a thing would happen. Makes it sound like had he thought that Yosef would take revenge, he would have said something. Well, he couldn't have said anything if he didn't know. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Medrash says that Yosef, the brothers changed the story. They lied in order to preserve the peace. And the Gemara explains, we'll find that in a second, but at least Rashi says that Yaakov didn't command it. Why didn't Yaakov command it? Because he would never suspect that Yosef would take revenge against the brothers and harbor this grudge. It sounds like had he suspected that they would hold a Yosef would hold the grudge against the brothers, then Yaakov may have said something. The only way he could have said something is if he would have known. If he didn't know, then the rest of Rashi doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to be a given to Rashi
that in fact Yaakov did know, which leaves a big question open of who told him.
Yeah.
How did Yaakov find out? There are only a few people that know about this.
Okay, so that's
certainly one answer, but again, for 22 years he seems to be pretty sad, and it doesn't sound like, he says Taraf Taraf Yosef, that he seemed to be. The truth is, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avim in Asik's Parsha, we learned that as classically, that he got that Ruach HaKodesh back, that it was missing, that there was something lacking the entire time, and it's certainly a possibility, but we need to try to investigate that a little bit further. The truth is that Rashi seems to give hints to this in a few places. In the Brachos of the Shvatim, which are written very poetically and probably were given very poetically and very difficult to try and decipher, there are a few times where
Yaakov says something, and in interpreting what exactly that part of the bracha means, Rashi puts in hints to Mechiras Yosef. For instance, if you, let's say we take, I think Shimon and Levi, I think, is one example. They're towards the beginning, probably. Shimon and Levi. Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Hey. Where is that? Page 276. So it says, Shimon Levi Achim, Hashem and Levi are our brothers. Okay, they work together. Kalei Chamas Mecheiroseihem, their weaponry is a stolen craft. Bisodam al tavo nafshi, into their conspiracy, I don't want to be involved. Bikalam al techa kvodi, again, I don't want to join my kavod to join them. Why? Ki be'apam horgu ish, for in their rage they killed a person, people. Ubir sonam ikru shor, and at their whim they maimed an ox. What does all that mean? So kiba pam har guish, the Rashi tells us that's referring to what happened in Shechem. They got upset. What happened with Dina? They said hachzonot says hachosin, you can't do this to our sister, and they proceeded to wipe out Shechem, his father, and all of the men that inhabited.
And Yaakov never said a word. Wasn't his reaction that he was silent?
He wasn't silent. He said
something like that, right?
You did something to me. What was the language of Pasuk? He did say something. It wasn't clear if he proved it or not, but he did have a reaction. Where is it? What is it? Need Tartem OC or something? Just be susceptible to all the people. So it's part of the stuff, right? He said, "Vayemer Yaakov al Shimon ve Levi achartem osila habisheni v'yoshev haaretz b'achtani v'apriziv ani m'sim b'svar b'nasvo lai v'ikuni nishmadati ani v'esei." Then he said, "You know, you've discomposed me, making me odious among the inhabitants of the land."
Oh, he was silent when he found out that Dina was.
Right. Well, they then responded, they said, well, how can he do this to his sister? He kept silent at that point, and that's where the discussion emerges as to, okay, does that mean he accepted, or he realized it wasn't worth arguing with them? How exactly do you interpret that? Right. At that point, he was silent. So what does this mean, kiba pom hargu ish? So actually, first of all, it says, Shimon v'levi achim, perek pasuk hey. Rashi says, "Be'itza achas al Shechem ve'al Yosef." Rashi tells us that why are they brothers? Because they have the same plans. They work together, both in what happened in Shechem and what happened with Yosef. How do we know that they were included by Yosef? Because it says there, "Vayomru ish al achiv," that the one said to his brother. Who are the ones that we know of are acting together as brothers? Shimon and Levi. Says Rashi that Yaakov was hinting in his. Let's call it a bracha for now, whether this was a bracha or not, or just a strong Musar Shmuz isn't 100% clear. But in his comments to Shimon and Levi, again, the way Rashi understands it, they were hints to the fact that they were together in this plot to sell Yosef. And that's how Yosef understands Zubir Tzonam Ikru Shor. I think there also mentions, yeah, Ratzu La'akor Es Yosef Shenikra Shor Shenamar Bechor Shoro Hadarlo. Yosef is referred to as a shore later on in Zosa Bracha. So what does it mean they want to uproot the shore? They wanted to uproot or maim the ox. Rashi says that that's also a hint to Yosef. So again, it works out very well for Rashi. If Rashi believes, again, that he knew, so then there may have been hints. And maybe whether Shimon and Levi knew that he knew, so that we don't know. But again, in their statement, they could certainly take it to heart and interpret it in a way that would be appropriate. By Yehuda also, there are comments. There are, I think, three or four times. Yeah, it's right here. We can just do it on the same page. But he says, Gur Aryeh Yehuda mi teref b'ni Elisa. What's mi teref b'ni Elisa? So Rashi says, Mimasha chajad ticha b'tarof taraf Yosef chayera achalaf. He was hinting to the language of tarof taraf Yosef, that they tricked Yaakov into thinking, into presuming that the reason that his sonas possum ended up the way it was is because a wild animal had killed him. So, and he realized that Yehuda had a role in that also. We discussed a few weeks ago. So there also, he hinted in his comments to Yehuda about the sale of Yosef. So again, Rashi seems to be somewhat consistent in his understanding that Yaakov did know what happened to Yosef. Again, we'll still have to get back to try and figure out how did he know, where did he get that information from. There are, however, Mefarshim, the Ramban was prominent amongst them. Ramban is actually in last week's Parsha. The Ramban comments on when they come up to the Pasuk, the Torah says that they came back from Mitzrayim, they came to Yaakov, and they came to Yaakov, and they said, Yosef, your son, is alive, and he's the leader of all of Egypt. Okay, it's hard to figure out exactly what that means, but his heart became weakened, maybe he fainted, something. He didn't believe them. And they told him everything that Yosef had told them to tell him. And he saw the wagons that Yosef had sent to carry him. And then the spirit of Yaakov returned, and Rashi famously says that they saw the Agalos, and it reminded them of the Egla Arufa, and that was the last thing they learned together, and he knew that it was Yosef. Says the Ramban, what does it mean, Vayidabru Elav as Kol Divrei Yosef, that they told him everything Yosef said? He says, Yehra Ali, it appears to me, Al Derech HaPshat, the simple understanding, Shelo Hugod LeYaakov Kol Yomav Ki Achiv Machruas Yosef. It was never told to Yaakov at any point in his life that the brothers sold Yosef. So what do you think? How does he interpret the fact that Yosef's been gone for 22 years, suddenly appears in Egypt as second in command? Aval Chashav, he thought Ki Hayatoeh Basadeh, got lost somewhere in the field. Vamotzim Oso Lachu Machruas Mitzrayim, and they saw this boy, he wasn't, you know, whatever he was, 17, however old he was exactly at that time. And they saw, people saw them, alone and lost, he was vulnerable. So they kidnapped him, they sold him down as a slave to Egypt. And then the rest of the story unfolded as it unfolded. That had nothing to do with the brothers after he got to Mitzrayim. Why didn't he know? The brothers didn't want to tell Yaakov what happened because they were the ones who sinned. And they were afraid for their lives because they know that Yaakov in the past has given quick curses, and they don't want to end up the recipient of one of those curses of Yaakov. As he had already been upset at Reuven with what happened with Bilhah, and Shimon and Levi as well, so they don't want to tell him. Yosef b'musaro hatov, in his good with his midos tovos, we talked about a little bit about last week. He also didn't want to say. He says the Ramban, ulekach nemar, and that's why it says vayitzavu. Our parsha, what we started out with, vayitzavu Yosef lemor avicha tziva lifnei moso lemor. And that's why they said, and they made it up, that your father commanded us before he died that you should forgive us for the sins. The Ilu Yada Yaakov bin Yunazeh, had Yaakov known, Hayaroy Lohem Sheikhalu Pleavi and Bimoso, the Tzavah says Yosef Mipiv. He should have gathered everybody together at the end of his life, and he should have told Yaakov himself, Yosef himself. Yaakov should have given him that directive. Ki Sapara Veloyam Raz Divaro, Velohayu Bisakana, Loisarchu Levados Milibam Divarim. And they wouldn't have had to make this up, and they wouldn't have anything to be afraid of, because if Yosef heard it directly from Yaakov, there's no question that Yosef would listen. So that seems to be a machlokas now between the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachai, I think also learns like the Ramban, and Rashi, on the other hand, whether Yaakov knew or not. Now the problem is, if you take a step back for a second, what the Ramban says, the Ramban assumes that the Yaakov did not know. And the brothers knew, and the only two sources who could have given the information, again, that's clear what the Ramban is saying, the only two sources are Yosef or the brothers. Yosef didn't want to give it because of his midos tovos, and the brothers didn't want to give it because they didn't want to be punished. Now, if the brothers want to tell Yosef a lie, it has to be something that there's a chance that Yosef's going to believe. Right? It's the only way it works. They're going to make up a story. It has to be a believable story. So what are the brothers thinking? If the brothers are telling Yosef that a lie, which implies that their father knew, because the only way for Yaakov to command them to tell Yosef that he has to forgive them, is if Yaakov had the information. The brothers knew that they didn't tell them. They're working together. Brothers had to, again, according to the Ramban, the brothers had to have assumed that Yosef told Yaakov. It's the only way to explain, according to the Ramban, that if Yaakov didn't know and the brothers were trying to tell a believable lie, so the only way for the only way for the lie to be believable is if Yosef had told Yaakov. Because otherwise, there's no way Yosef's going to believe that this story is true. Because again, if Yaakov presumably had known, he would have said it on his own. He would have told. So the only way to make the story believable is if they assume that it'd be fair for. That from Yosef's perspective, they could assume that Yosef believed that Yaakov knew. The way for them to believe that Yaakov knew is if they assume that Yosef had told them.
And they think that if Yosef told him, he never would have said a word to them?
Maybe.
And what about Ruach HaKodesh? Why couldn't that be the third way?
So, but the Ramban didn't address Ruach HaKodesh. That's why I'm not talking about. We'll talk about Ruach HaKodesh soon. But again, the Ramban seemed to only. Ramban only entertained. Right, the Ramban said Yaakov didn't know, and he only entertained two sources. But again, just so working in the mindset of the...
You said last week that Yosef was never alone with Yaakov, but he didn't want to have to tell him.
But we don't know if the brothers knew that. That was something Yosef took on himself.
So
the brothers don't know what happened when Yosef comes to visit when they're not there.
So the brother's assumption is that Yosef told Yaakov.
That seems to be what emerges according to the Ramban. In order for the lie to be believable... seems to be that the brothers had to assume that Yosef had told. And why didn't Yaakov say anything? I don't know. Yaakov decided not to. He didn't want to get involved anymore. Or maybe Yosef said, "I'm dealing with it the way I dealt with it." He said, "Abba, I'm not interested. I don't want to cause any more rifts. I told the brothers that I forgive them, and I don't want to. I don't want to talk about it anymore." If you understand like this, then it puts a new meaning on the reason that Yosef cries after the brothers make this request of Yaakov, of Yosef. Right? We read the
passage.
What?
They lied again.
Not just that they lied again, but they assumed that Yosef was the same Yosef as before. Meaning because it meant that they had to assume that Yosef hasn't changed, and that Yosef would have gone back and told their father again. So it's almost like a depressing thought for it's almost a depressing thought for Yosef that the brothers didn't come around. Now, I think that's the simplest way of understanding according to the Ramban. There is another possibility though, which is that Yosef could have assumed that the brothers told Yaakov. Again, the brothers assumed
that Yosef.
The brothers knew they didn't say anything, but the brothers had to have assumed in order to make the story believable that Yaakov knew. That means the brothers assumed that Yosef knew. Now Yosef knows that he didn't tell Yaakov. So that means in Yosef's mind there are only really two possible ways of explaining this. Either the brothers are accusing him indirectly of having told Yaakov, and he figured that out because he knows that he didn't tell them. Or there's another interesting possibility, which is that Yosef could have assumed that the brothers told Yaakov. Right? Again, there.
I thought that's what you said.
No. Again, according to the Ramban, there are only two possible places that Yaakov could have gotten information. Right? Ruach HaKodesh isn't an option. It's either from the brothers or from Yosef. Now the brothers are telling Yosef that their father said something, and they want it to be believable. That means From their perspective, it means only one thing. From their perspective, since they know they didn't tell, that means that they are, whether 100% or 98%, they have to be overwhelmingly positively sure in order for their story to be believed. One second. In order for their story to be believed, they have to be sure that Yosef told them in order for the story to work. In order for the story to work. Now Yosef hears them. Now Yosef has two possible ways of interpreting what they're saying from Yaakov. Either it's a complete lie, because there's no way the brothers told him, and I know I didn't tell him. There's no other place he could have gotten the information from. And then Yosef is a little bit depressed, A, maybe that they're lying, maybe more so he's depressed that they would assume that he would have gone ahead and told Yaakov. But there is another possibility, which is that the brothers are telling the truth. That Yaakov really did say it. So where did Yaakov know the information from? Not from Yosef, but from the brothers. Maybe they told their father what happened.
Why would they ever tell him?
Guilt.
You're still
guilt.
Of you.
Guilt.
Yeah, maybe they felt guilt.
Maybe.
Holy people.
Also, maybe he was
and
crying.
He was alive. And
no, they were. They definitely were holy people. And that's a lot.
I mean,
I agree. I agree that the simplest understanding is the first. And I think that's why. And I think that explains better why Yosef cried.
Maybe he also cried because maybe it wasn't the brothers thinking it, but he thought, wow, that's what my father thinks of me. My father
right.
thinks that I
But the only way he could think that is if the brothers told Yaakov.
Oh, if the brothers told Yaakov.
Right. So you have to take that step. I'm not sure if he's willing to go that far. I agree, which is why I like the first explanation. I like the first explanation a little bit better.
But it's sad that there's still a conspiracy unless one broke from the others and told.
Again, but it's not necessarily a conspiracy for a bad thing. The Gemara says it's mutter. They're allowed to do this. This lie is allowed.
Yeah, but it's still the same pattern as earlier.
Okay, no, but the pattern earlier was something which is forbidden, and this is permitted. It's a change still. I mean, they're not doing something that they're not allowed to do. But right.
They're operating.
Right. Right. It doesn't put them in a better light, but I don't think it puts them in a worse light, or even maybe not even in the same light.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Fred, because with the whole issue with Binyamin and Akos, he told them after he revealed what was. Like, you know what I mean? As if he communicated
right.
this is over,
right.
so that here it's being
brought
up again, and
yeah.
they're adults, they're grown-ups, we're already past it.
Right.
Yeah, but sometimes grown-ups don't go past
it. Now the problem is, before we get back to Rashi, the problem is that if it's true that there was some sort of impetus from Yosef's direction, meaning something that made Yosef think, that made the brothers think that Yosef's opinion had changed, so then why did Yosef do that? Meaning, why did he stop inviting to the table? There's another chazal which is brought down, one of the Rishonim brings down, that they got nervous because on the way back, Yosef stopped at the pit. He stopped at the pit that he was thrown down to. Why did he stop at the pit? He made a bracha. Which is a bracha that is in Shulchan Aruch. There's still a bracha to say. If a person had something which is a real miracle that happens to him at a particular place, if he sees that place again, he's supposed to make a bracha. So, one of those two things, they interpreted as being, well, you know, this is still on his mind. Now, so if it's that he stopped to make the bracha, so that had nothing to do with the brothers. That had to do with him, part of his thanking Hashem. Maybe it had to do with the fact, somebody suggests, I saw somewhere, I don't remember where, that the brothers might not have known that there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. They might not have even realized how big a miracle it was. But they just thought there was no water in the pit. But Chazal told us that there were snakes and scorpions. He survived all of that. So he wanted to praise Hashem at that place for personal reasons, nothing to do with the brothers. It's more difficult if you understand that he didn't invite them to the meal anymore. Why would he do that? So that the Medrash explains. Medrash says that Yosef was faced with a problem, and that's why he stopped inviting them. The problem was he couldn't figure out how to seat them. Why? You can relate.
And it's not even girls, it's boys. Boys, boys and men.
Communicate?
No.
No.
No, there was.
I'm making a bracha say a name. You know what I'm saying? Why can't you say?
What else? We don't know that he interpreted. That's what he thought. Maybe he did. Maybe he gave a whole drasha first. Then he said, I know I was once in this pit and there were snakes and scorpions and I want to thank Hashem for that. And maybe he brought out the Dunkin' Donuts afterwards and they had a little party and some schnapps. They might have done all of that. But in their minds, as long as it's still on Yosef's mind, they're nervous.
Well, also because they know they're guilty. And they did something wrong. And so whenever that happens, you always think everybody's
Exactly. 100%. 100%. And that's what happened with the table also. They didn't invite them anymore. Why? So the Medrash says, Hulon is kavin elo l'shem shemayim. His intentions were pure. What did he intend? He said, when their father was alive... So then, Yosef he would sit Yosef. He was in charge of the seating, and he would sit Yosef above Yehuda and above Reuven. What were the problems? That Yehuda is where the Malchus is coming from, and Reuven is the Bechor. So Yaakov has the right to show the respect that he wants for Yosef and to seat Yosef in the more prominent position. But he says, "How? What am I going to do now? Now I'm going to, without my father being there, I'm going to sit above my brothers, who, again, on the level of brothers, they're supposed to be higher than me, and yet I can't sit lower because of my position in Mitzrayim." So he was stuck with this dilemma. He didn't know how to properly show respect for his brothers, and at the same time not mess up his standing as the king. And that's what they interpreted. Okay. I think even if he did, it would be the same thing. Meaning it would still be them interpreting the fact that...
But she's right. They could get a round table, and then there's no issue.
Okay. But I want to get back to Rashi, because I think Rashi has another interesting dimension. Again, Rashi says that Yaakov knew. So one question is, Rashi is quoting from the Chazal that he changed Mikvei Darkei Shalom. He changed for pieces of Gemara. So how can the Ramban argue with the Gemara? So the truth is that Rashi added to the Gemara, not in a bad way. He was just explaining. The Gemara just says that he changed for peace. The Gemara doesn't say why Yaakov didn't command this. Yeah, Rashi adds that in. The Kilotziva Yaakov came, I think, if I remember the Gemara correctly, that it wasn't the explanation of why Yaakov didn't command this because Shalom Nefesh Yosef Beinav. I don't think those words appear in the Gemara. Rashi is just explaining that the reason was because Yosef wasn't suspect to be so revengeful and to take to respond to them in this way and to hold on to this grudge. And it's from those words that we see the fact that they just lied and they changed for peace. So that's true according to the Ramban also. That's not a problem because they were just trying to defend themselves. That doesn't indicate whether Yaakov knew or not. It's the fact that Rashi adds in that he didn't suspect Yosef of holding a grudge. That sounds like he knew, but he had no reason to say because he held Yosef in such esteem that he would never do this. So where would he have known from? So, two possibilities seem to emerge. And neither of them is from Yosef. It seems to be that everybody agrees, and all the Mefarshim agree, that Yosef never told Yaakov. And that Yosef wasn't the source of this information. So where do you know it from? So one possibility is what everybody shot for right away, is some sort of Ruach HaKodesh. Where do we see this? So the Medrash comments... After the episode at the beginning of the parsha with Ephraim and Menashe and switching the hands, and Yosef tells him, you know, you did it wrong. And Yaakov has an interesting phrase. He says, "Vayimoein aviv." He didn't listen. "Vayomer yadati bni yadati." I know, my son, I know. "Gamhu yelam vagamhu yigdol." He's also going to be great, but his younger brother is going to be great. What does it mean? "Yadati bni yadati." There are two interesting midrashim. One midrash says, less explicitly than others. The first Medrash says, "Yodati b'ni yodati, yodati, I know, Maisa Reuven Ubilah, I know what happened with Reuven Ubilah, Maisa Yehuda v'Tamar, I know what happened with Yehuda v'Tamar." We have no sukkim ever that tells us that the details of these things were revealed to Yaakov. So unless somebody told him, how do you know these things? It says, "Ma devarim shalom nisgalu lechol nisgalu li." If I know things, Yosef, that you don't know, and they're still revealed to me. So Dvarim Shenizgal Lecha Alachas Kama V'Kama. Don't think that I don't know also the things that you do know. Leaves a little bit of room for ambiguity, what he's talking about. But the next magician, the Psikta, is Mefurash. Amar Lo, he said to him, Ma Marta Zeh Bechor Yadati, just like you said that this is the Bechor, I know that. Elamata Sabar, what do you think? Because I was asking you, and you wonder about this, did Yaakov ever ask you what happened? Maybe he says, yes. I constantly ask you, what did your brothers do to you? And yet you never told me? What do you think? That I didn't know? I knew the whole time what happened. At what point, I don't know, at what point it was revealed to him, but at some point after, it might have been only after he found that Yosef was alive, but at some point, the Ruach HaKodesh did reveal to him, presumably through Ruach HaKodesh, it was known to Yaakov exactly what happened. So why was he asking? I don't know. He wanted Yosef to have the, maybe, to test him, to give him the opportunity, maybe if there was any, you know, to talk it out if he needed to, maybe he had some issues that he was dealing with because of this experience. You know, a little therapy, but yeah, whatever, but the reason.
Those of us sitting around the table here have children and grandchildren, and the only way you say, I know it, I know it, I know that all along, so don't be afraid of telling me, you know, filling in the blanks.
Maybe. So that's one possibility. So one possibility is that he knew it through Ruach HaKodesh. But there's one other magic.
Why wouldn't he know that he was alive?
No, so that's what I'm saying. So the Ruach HaKodesh might have only revealed this to him after he was alive. Because, again, the Chazal seemed to say that he lost his Ruach HaKodesh during the time Yosef was gone. But afterwards, maybe the Ruach HaKodesh revealed to him. So what happened? Maybe at that point, once it was about the Chi Ruach Yaakov Avim, so then he was able to sort of ask Hashem, you know, I just need to know, you know, what happened? Why didn't he say anything? He didn't want to say anything. He didn't want to say anything. Yosef, only at this point, he hinted to Yosef, you know, I really do know. And the brothers probably didn't know that Yaakov didn't necessarily know that he knew, and the brothers didn't necessarily know that he even mentioned any of this hint to Yosef. But there's one other, one final point. Medrash says, back to last week's parsha for a second, it says that they told him what happened, and by Yafag Libo, his heart was weakened, Kilo Amin Lam, he didn't believe them. And then they told him everything that Yosef said, and he saw the agolos, and he saw the wagons, and everything is better again. So what changed? So Rashi tells us famously, okay, the egla rufa, which is fine, it's a gemara and sota, but are there any other explanations? You know, it's not the simplest reading the pasuk. He goes from not believing them to, they tell over the story, and suddenly everything is believed. It sounds like it's everything together. It's not just the agolos, it's the Kol Divrei Yosef. Medrash makes a fascinating comment which I think is very telling. Medrash says, Vayafag libo kilo amin lohem. His heart became weakened, he didn't believe them. Rabbi Shimon says, Kach onsho shel badai. This is the punishment of a person who's involved in trickery. Shafilu dover emes, in Shomon Lo, that even when he speaks the truth, nobody listens. Right, the boy who cried wolf. What's the proof? Shekein matzinu b'ban of Shal Yaakov. That's what we find with the sons of Yaakov. Shekizvu laviyen. He tricked their father. B'tchilahem in lahem. At the beginning, he believed them. Shemar v'akchu es kesones Yosef v'ishchatu serizim. They tried to trick him. They shechted the goat. They dipped the goat in. And he said, I recognize the code, it's the one of my son. In the end, when they came to say, Yosef's alive, is in Mitzrayim, the tongue, the truth, he didn't believe them. His heart became weak because he didn't believe them. They went to tell him Yosef's alive, and he didn't believe them. Presumably, the Medrash isn't telling us that, you know, Hashem works things in the background, that if you say something that isn't true, then people believe you, then the next time somebody's gonna, you know, is not gonna believe when you're telling the truth. It seems to be saying something about human nature. Human nature is such that if you talk to somebody and you trick them and they find out that you're not telling the truth, exactly like the story of the boy who cried wolf, the person finds out that human nature is such that the person isn't going to believe you again. So where did Yaakov know that they lied the first time? To not believe them. Right? What does it mean that this is a punishment to the person? Who, right? How do you know that they weren't telling the truth to not believe them now?
Yeah.
So, maybe this is where he knew. It's exactly this. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't believe them. Why didn't he believe them? Because it didn't make sense. Because if the first thing they were saying is true, then this can't be true. And then if what they said at the beginning, and if this is true, then what they said before isn't true. So something doesn't add up. It can't be that my son was killed by an animal and is now ruler of Mitzrayim. So Lohem Elam, he said, you guys aren't telling me the truth. So then what happens? They needed Yaakov to come down to Mitzrayim. Yosef said, you have to come back to Mitzrayim. They needed Yaakov to believe them. What did they then do? They said everything Yosef said, including, you're the brothers who sold me down here. And it was the brothers, in the end, who admitted it to Yaakov. Why? They might not have wanted to, but they needed to have Yaakov believe them. The only way to transform Yaakov from being this person who couldn't believe their story into somebody who's Fatechi Ruach Yaakov Avim, excited to see their son, is if they could explain how the stories fit together. As long as the two stories don't fit together, it doesn't make any sense. Yaakov says, I can't believe you. Something doesn't add up. One of your stories is a lie. I'm not investing all my energy into thinking my son is alive if you guys are a bunch of tricksters.
So is that why at the end he doesn't give the brothers real brachot? It's more like a farewell speech?
Not necessarily. That might be
does
just
he,
a broader
does
topic.
Does he have any reaction to this?
We don't know. Again, most of the we'll call them the brachot, are positive.
Right.
Or at least foretelling of the future. It seems that was his style. But again, according to Rashi, if Yaakov knew, maybe that was where Yaakov knew. But again, it's interesting, and the sort of Schwab doesn't quote this Medrash, but he quotes a similar idea as well. Again, it's not true according to the Ramban and according to Rabbeinu Bachai, those who learned that Yaakov never knew. But if we assume like Rashi that Yaakov did know, then maybe this explains, again, and it might even be the simplest way of understanding the Pasuk. Because again, if you don't put in Rashi's Egla Arufa, so what changed? What about Yosef's story of him ending up in Mitzrayim suddenly went from Lohem in Lohem, and one pasuk later, you know, he's the one leader. Yaakov's ready to lead everybody down to Mitzrayim. If they filled in all the gaps, so then that explains why. Maybe that was part. And it doesn't know. We don't know that Yosef ever knew that. That part isn't clear. It still doesn't mean that Yosef obviously, and none of the Mefarshim assume that Yaakov really told the brothers to make their statements, but that would also explain why they felt comfortable telling the lie, because they knew that Yaakov knew, and they didn't know whether Yosef knew whether Yosef knew or not. But if they knew that Yaakov really did know, so they have no problem telling a story which involves the assumption that Yaakov knew, and they were trying. In the end, Yosef tells them not to worry about it. Hopefully he forgave them. I actually saw Rabbeinu Bechai writes that he never fully forgave them.
How does Yaakov completely forgive them?
Not Yaakov, Yosef.
But how does Yaakov, after finding out?
But maybe Yaakov realized that's the way it had to be, so that he hadn't been
ahead of
Egypt. That even though it wasn't, he didn't like the way it went about it,
right.
Maybe that's the way it had to happen for him to get
right.
there.
No, and you guys need to improve yourselves, but ultimately this was God's plan. And maybe Yaakov, the same way Yosef, viewed himself as, the object of what happened, as the subject, the one that happened too. Maybe Yaakov had that perspective also. I suffered. I'm not happy that they chose to make me suffer. But ultimately, from my perspective, that was God's plan. The brothers are responsible. They have to go through their tshuva process. And the reason I think Rabbeinu Bechaye learns that Yosef didn't fully forgive them is because somebody pointed out last week, Yasara Rugei Malchus. The fact that it seems to be I think Rabbeinu Bechaye says that. He said that's why we still needed Asar Arugei Malchus to finish off the atonement. Somebody else told me, which is an interesting point just to think about, I guess just to finish, is that you never find, again, assuming that Yosef did forgive them in last week's parasha, he says don't be sad, which maybe he's overly sad. I think somebody said Rabbi Jonathan Sachs pointed this out in his piece from last week. I'm not 100% sure about that. That Yosef, if that's true, is the first person in the Torah to ever forgive another person. You may have Hashem forgiving somebody, but you don't find people forgiving people. And even in, I think, earlier literature, I think, Greek, etc., you don't find the concept of a person forgetting a person. You might find a person doing something to make it up for the person, becoming indebted to the person, you know, going through a certain process. But the idea of forgiving another person, according to Ben Abchai, it doesn't exist even with Yosef, so I guess we've got to look further and find out who is the first person ever to forgive. But again, if we understand the way we classic, we understand that Yosef, in fact, is the first person to forgive. So just again, just to summarize what we saw, the basic question was, did Yaakov... I'm sorry? Right, so according to Ben Abchai, we have to definitely look further down the line and figure out who was the first person to ever forgive. But it's easy, there are definitely other Mepharshim that do understand that he did forgive.
The statement he makes is that he's forgiving.
He never says he forgives them. He says, don't be upset about what happened because it was God's plan. That's a... It's close. It's close. But if you're waiting for somebody to say, just say, I'm sorry, he didn't do that. You know, I can get my kids to apologize in a lot of roundabout ways, but to say, I'm sorry, is much harder. For whatever reason it is, psychologically, to go that step is a little bit harder. Just so the basic question you were trying to grapple with was, did Yaakov find that or not? Again, the simple understanding of the Sukkim is that he did know, but then we saw that none of the first and the brothers were telling the truth. They all assumed that it was made up. So the two main approaches seem to be that of the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai, that he never did find out. And therefore, in order, it must be that to make the story believable, the brothers assumed that Yosef had told them, which might explain a new dimension on why Yosef was crying. And Rashi seems to say that in fact Yosef, that Yaakov did find out, although he didn't suspect Yosef of doing this, so therefore he didn't command him. Where would he have found out? So that we had two approaches, either the Yadati bin Yadati, that somehow Ruach HaKodesh at some point revealed to him what happened, or again, another interesting twist, is if you take those psukim, last week's parasha, the Ki Lohem in Lohem, what made Yaakov switch to believe them, and the Medrash is saying that he suspected them of lying, so maybe it was the brothers themselves who, as Benny and maybe facilitating their tshuva process, they were the ones in the end who actually revealed it to Yaakov. But nobody actually said, as far as I saw, that Yosef was the one who revealed to Yaakov, which again just shows the midos that Yosef was working on in terms of himself.